Luke 10. It's good to see you. I'm I feel out of place here. You know, I've had as good of education. I taught myself. A little bit of down the road stuff. Taught myself. Knowledge puffeth up. It's a thousand wonders a man gets an education makes it the old time way. It's a thousand wonders. If it hadn't been for my friendship right there, I probably wouldn't make it. So you never know what you're doing by befriending somebody. He befriended me. Before any of you knew him, probably most of you, he befriended me, Dale. Showed me a way. And I always feel out of place right here because this is way past schoolroom. The last verse in chapter 10 is one thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. And just a few chapters over in 18, verse 22, the rich ruler said, he said to him, yet likest thou one thing.
Yes.
You can read the context.
Yes.
Father, in Jesus' name, I pray you, if you don't do it, I'll take the credit. If you do it, we'll give you the credit. In Jesus' sweet, wonderful name, amen. And be seated. I've been preaching for 40 years this year. When I went to school, we had a verse that we made as our class verse. It was Nehemiah 8:8. You can turn there and look at it. In my estimation, preaching has to do what that verse says. They read in the Word of God distinctly. Distinctly is an intensive word meaning a smashing way so that you don't just say the word, you say it plain and clear so that everybody hears that word. Distinctly, Brother Gary. Then it says, give them the sense of it. That means give them knowledge. What's that word mean? I wot not what they said. I want to tell them that wot means I know not what they said. You want to make them understand the sense of that word. That's a knowledge thing, Roger. It's a knowledge thing. It's not a spiritual depth. It's a knowledge thing. But that next word means show them how to put it in shoe leather. Understand. That's what it does. And that's what I believe now. I believe preaching is to read the Word of God distinctly. Then give if there's any little things that you need to explain, explain, you explain it. And then that's why we can't have novices preaching. Because they really don't know how the rubber fits the road. But the old man knows how the rubber fits the road, so he can take the word that he read distinctly and the words he looked up and understood what was there and put the belt on the prairie and make her pull. So that a church can go forward spiritually. I believe that's right. Now the verses I read to us today have one little theme to it. It says, one thing is needful. One thing. And I've studied about that day a lot. I went down here to the big college. And the Old Testament professor was not just a liberal, he's real liberal. And listen, if you don't have sense as a cow to mow the grass and leave the briar, stay away. He said to us one day, built a whole class up on the way Jesus' ministry was. And then he said, would his name have to be Jesus to save you? Well, you know, I'm a slow thinker. And I thought, well, you know, it makes a little sense right here. I didn't hear any names yet, you know, he said that. And then after he played this along a while, Larry, he said, could his name be Muhammad? And all my shed come up. I said, whoa, wait a minute now, buddy. I've ironed myself a corner. I've listened to this guy for a long time, and now he's named the person that saved me another name. Well, Peter said none other name. So I've got to realize that if I change his name, I've done something real bad. I don't know about the rest of it, but I've hurt something pretty bad when I change his name. But wait a minute. In Psalm 118, the Bible said they took the stone away, and that was the chief cornerstone of ours, and they threw it away. What have they done with my Lord? I know not where they laid him. So if you change his ministry, leave the same name, do you not have a different Christ? I'm asking a question. Is that right, Ken? If you take every attribute of Christ away and leave Jesus on it, have you still got Jesus? I don't believe you do, buddy. So that brings me down to one thing, don't it? Brings me back to one thing. One thing. I thought about a lot of things that have no need. That 1611 don't have any need. There's nothing needful in there. If I can't understand it, I get a mirror to find out what's wrong with that guy. I studied all the manuscript evidence. I figure if you're going to stand in front of people and tell them truth, you better know what truth is. I want to be responsible with your life, or I want to stay out of the pulpit, not carry the burdens of kids on my shoulder. Tell them lies. How do you like to propagate water baptism for salvation? How do you like to have that hung on your mess? I don't sure want it on mine. I want to know the truth. So I studied to know the truth. But I'm going to tell you what changed me, Kenny. Psalm 12:6-7. That's what changed me forever. He said in Psalm 119, forever, O Lord, thy word. I believe it's 119. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven.
Amen.
And them words in Psalm 12, I sat in that office about 15 miles up the road. And I said, I'm going to have to make my commitment somewhere. And I drawed the line just like them kids, and I made up my mind that day.
Yes, sir.
And I didn't have to have no other Bible. I had that one right there, and that's all I needed. And I've found my way to God with that Bible right there, man. Oh, yes, I have. You don't need anything. Say, I don't understand it. It's your problem, not his. It's because you don't understand that Bible. Don't blame God for it. And when you got to draw a picture on a sign down there with a truck and an X across it, tell me it's the smartest generation ever lived, and you got to give them a picture and tell them not to drive a truck up the road. No trucks allowed when I was a boy. It said, no trucks allowed, and I was a little boy, and I understood exactly what it said.
Yes, sir.
No, listen, no thing do I have to add to that book right there, or take away from it. And let me go on. You can memorize it and still not know the guy. And I'm not putting down memory. You better memorize. You better put it hide in your heart so you don't sin against God. What it says. And I understand there's nothing to me. There's nothing like it. Nothing like it. Nothing like it with the message. Oh no, there's nothing like it with the grace message. I've got a book by E. Stanley Jones. He's a Methodist missionary to India and a very, very brilliant man. He said there's three ways that we propagate for salvation. One of them earn it. And one of them you can't earn it. That's us. But to appease their conscience, somebody put that middle one in there and said, get it free, but hold on to it. Throw the other two away. Give me this one right here. It said, it's him and him alone. That's all that got me saved right there. Him and him alone. He nailed it to the cross. The condemnation against me. The message is right. No, you don't have to add or fix it or nothing. Nothing needful in the message. Nothing needful in the God that gave us the message. Nothing needful in all the... If you keep the church where it belongs, you don't have any need in it. He'll take care of John. But I found some things missing. And it really reduces down to one thing, Brother Jerry. And I'm gonna fool around here. Listen, church, we're losing ground. We have not won the world. We have missed. Something's missing. Something's missing in the pulpit. Something's missing in our message. Please don't be thinking I'm mean. I'm not being mean, buddy. I had to get a mirror out and take this guy to the Creator and get this heart right with God, buddy. I want to know what's wrong with my message, my preaching, and my living. I want to know. He said in John 14, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. When the last time he did what you said, right on the button, buddy. We've got so used to going to bed without our prayers being answered, we think that's what God meant, and it's not what God meant. Something's missing. Something's missing. I'm not a psychologist. I read psychology, and I mean, they're pretty sharp sometimes. I'm just telling you, you gotta think sometimes. What has kept God from answering our prayers? We're going to have to get upset about this failure. If we don't get upset about it, we're never going to cure it. We're going to go in, we're going to face heaven with another Christ and another gospel and something that didn't work, that He's going to open our eyes to see that we failed somewhere. Failed horribly. Something wrong with our mannerisms, our church, with our way we study our book. One thing needful. I may have reduced it to one thing. These two people were told one thing was needful. Mary was told. Martha was told. She's in there fixing the food. And it's right to fix the food. Sometimes you gotta be Martha and the next day you gotta be Mary. Say that right. You gotta have Martha. But Martha better put Mary in there somewhere. Or Martha will always be washing dishes.
That's right.
Have not I cut my hair right, Joel? Have not I dressed right? Have not I put my dimes in? Have not I? What have you done for me? That older brother got everything! He got everything! Pretty well, he was missing something. That old boy had to go to Egypt to find it. You know right? And that fellow said, I want eternal life. He said, keep the commandments, which he named all the commandments that deal with others. Mother and dad, neighbor, every one of them. Not a one, not those other commandments. No other God, no graven image, that Sabbath day, all that's left out, Jerry. Only thing he dealt with is my relationship with my mother and dad and you. Is that right? Is that right? You can list them out. They're right there written plain out. He dealt with all those now. And the guy said, I've done that all the way from my youth. He thought he had. I guess he thought he had. I guess some of us think we've got something coming. He said, let me see if I can hit the nerve. Sell what you got. Give it away. And he said, very sorrowful. Read the book. He didn't just, he's very sorrowful. And Jesus saw that sorrow in him. And he said, it's pretty hard for a fellow that's got another God to throw it away and get me as his God. Isn't that right? And that really, that's that underneath there. Underneath there. The same thing was wrong with both of them that's wrong with us today. I preached 40 years. You know what E. Stanley Jones said when he's about 70? That's what he said. 70. He went on the mission field in 1907. In 1958, he wrote that book that I was reading. I figured he's about 70-something. You know what he said? Crazy. He said, I've learned more about God in 1 year than I did all the rest of my life. My wife is sitting back there, best friend I've got in this whole lousy world. I say that many times, haven't I? Talked to you, I've known more about God in this last 2 or 3 years than I ever learned in all the rest of the 55 years I've been saved. I learned more about Him, Brother Milby. You sang about heaven and all it's going to be, Dale. There's one thing going to make it heaven. That's that body with them scars in it and that one inhabiting that buddy. I may not know I'm in heaven if I see Granny and Uncle, but when I see that body, that nail-scarred person, I'll know where I'm at. And listen, fellas, I believe this with all my heart. Listen, if you get to know him here, you'll recognize him real quick. Heard a fella say this week, he said, I've talked with him enough alone in them little prayer times early in the morning. And when I get there, I'll know his voice just like that. Just like that. Ain't that good? One thing is needful. You know what's missing in their lives? 1 Corinthians 13 is missing. That's all. That's the very thing that's missing. First, look at it first. Just turn to 1 Corinthians 13. I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. I'm going to tell you something. Somebody said, oh, Wayne's quit preaching his clean living. You don't know me, buddy. I'm going to tell you something. You'll do 10 times as much because you love somebody and you will with them a stick beating the fire out of you. If I could get my church to love Christ, I wouldn't have to tell them how to dress. They would dress. If I could get them to love Christ, I wouldn't have to worry about how they cut their hair, or where they had a TV, or whatever else they had. When no wicked thing before them. Why do you take that out of my life? Because it interferes with my devotion to my Lord. I love Him. I don't want Him offended. That He's jealous. His name is Jealous. I got my VCR running, all that nakedness. My wife's sitting there crying. What are you crying about? Because you're looking at another woman. That's why. So I take it out of my life, Brother Gary, so that woman knows I don't love another woman. Come on, man. Let's relate to this thing. Go home and tell your wife you want her to fix herself this way or that way. What are you really saying? Why did he go home and tell her to cut that hair and pile it up on a real high or do whatever else change? What is he saying? I saw somebody that I like better than you. Oh, Lord. Come on, I'm not mad at nobody. One thing thou likest over at the old Baptist church, buddy. One thing thou likest in this kingdom. Look at this 1 Corinthians 13. I want to tell you, you better look at it. I know sometimes you don't want to. In the first three verses, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, and have not charity, I don't want to be a rock, a noisy mess, rock a sound and breath. I don't want to be that. I said, Brother Wayne, you yelled a lot. One of them boys over in that printing company in E-Town said to me one day, I went to visit him, he said, are you still ranting and raving? That's what I was doing too. Sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. Getting married to her by a bunch of cans on the back of your car. About the same thing, you know. Isn't that what you're saying, Ronnie? Racket. That's all you are. If you have, don't have love, you're just racket. You're still ranting and raving. That's all you're doing. Church, I ain't trying to be mean to you. If we don't get this thing back where it belongs, we are not going to go any farther. I can't get Washington revived. I can't get the Senate. I don't vote. If you call me a politician, you better keep your heavy John Primble out. I might want to cut you. That's a cuss word, almost. No, sir, buddy. It don't matter. And I know you got to have it in the government some way or another, but it's what all the kings did when they got revival. The kingdom got revived. I'm going to tell you, I can't change Washington, and I can't change the Senate, and I can't change the lawyers, and I can't change my neighbor. I can't change my neighbor, man. I can't make him do right. But I tell you who I can change. I can't make you different, but I know who I can make different. I can change a guy, comb his hair every morning. I don't want to be racket. All that is racket. Racket, racket, racket. That's all it is. We've come. It's an ego trip, Brother Hall. You know it, I know it. We've known the big preachers. I've known them personally. It's racket. It's an ego trip. It's nice to beat on people and stick your chest out. He could have called 12 leaders. He He just humbled himself and became obedient unto death. The worst death you could have. And you can name all that blood if you want to, but it was my sin that made that so gruesome. It's all that sin busted into him. I've been studying Brother John's preaching. I got all crazy, man. I started running stuff around. He thought I was trying to see if there's something wrong with his message. No, ain't nothing wrong with that message, buddy. It's a lot of deep water in that message. Somebody laid hands on that sacrifice before the wrath fell on it. Ain't that right? So wonder when they did that, Chris. Wonder when somewhere they laid hands on Jesus before that wrath hit him. All that sin was passed over on him. I believe it must be right. It wasn't no ego trip right there. It was me he had in mind. I don't want to be racket. Racket, racket, racket. I heard a lot of racket. A lot of racket. And then it says, if I had the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, been to Campbellsville College. Well, I have faith so I can remove mountains and have not charity. How do you like them last three words? Huh? Man, I know the Aramaic, Abba, or the Greek. He said, check that word out. Everybody's saying, check that word out. They just 773,692 of them. Which one of them you want me to check out? Did you check that word out? Oh, that was number 1,473. Yeah, I checked it right out. No, buddy, there's too much there to check out. Too much to check out. I can find it. I can find it. Get my computer. Get up that text and look it all up and look at those parsons and look at all those congregations. I can check it out. But if I can do all of that and there's not a heart beating with God's wonderful love, I'm called nothing. My Lord, me and Lord, we're going to go back to quick ten. Nothings. Nothings. Nothing. Nothing's what he's saying. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, that's that ruler. Though I give my body to be burned, profiteth me nothing. Oh my, that's missing. That's missing. Jesus hanging on the cross and saying to the very guys that drove the nails in him, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. I know it'll change your life if you do what I'm telling you. It'll make everything around you different. It'll make your church different. It'll make your family different. It'll make your spouse different. It'll make your little kids different. It will, Brother Milby. I tell you, people will misunderstand it. They'll misunderstand it, but it don't mean it's, you ain't supposed to throw it away because they misunderstand it. Just care about everybody. Kindness, is that what Michael preached? Kindness, is that what you said, buddy? You know, I'm going to tell you what I believe about that. He said that's nine fruits. I believe that's one fruit and have all nine aspects. One old big hunk hanging on the tree, when you pull it off there, is joy, peace, long-suffering, faith, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance. All them things are in there. They're a little bit in there when you first get saved, but if you let them grow, they'll be in there big time. They'll run your life. They'll run your life. Let me ask you this. I'm going to quit a minute. Let me ask you another question. How many people you ever straighten out threatening them? I tell you, I don't know what you're made out of, Brother Shaver, but I tell you, you ain't going to straighten me out of the stick. But if you weep over me, I might straighten out myself. Said the goodness of the Lord's what got me. It's what it says. One thing is needful, church. I'm not trying to jump on you. I'm going to just tell you, buddy, if you love Him and you love others, if I eat meat, cause my brother to stumble, I'll just quit doing it. I had an old deacon right up here on the other side of town. He went in a nursing home down there one day. And this old woman was kind of critical of his message. She said, "Ah, you come in here telling me about Jesus all the time and you drank that old coffee." He said, "Ma'am," he's about 83, he said, "Ma'am, does that coffee offend you?" She said, "Yes, sir, it offends me." And you know what he did the rest of his life? He quit drinking coffee the rest of his life. I preached this funeral. Never drink another drop. Because he's afraid to hurt somebody and they'd use it to keep from being saved. What thinkest thou, my brothers? Am I right or am I wrong? I had, Brother Milby, I probably had the roots of the best church in Kentucky. Right there on the other side of E-Town. She's running over 300. You couldn't even get in a place, no air conditioning, parked down the street a half a mile to get in the church. And I heard Mr. Hammond come along and start cutting on people. And I got the disease. When I left, there's 69 left, and I was afraid they were going to leave on me, so I left before they did. Come on now. I'm just telling you that I'm not preaching something to you that has not had to make itself wildly relevant in my life. You're not going to win your kids, but by one way, and that's to pull them in by love. Care about them. You don't have to agree with what they did, and you can tell them that, but you don't have to hound them every time they look at you. I'm not telling you that you ought not tell them. If you love them, you will tell them. I went to my daddy. He wouldn't let me talk to him about God. And I went to him anyhow. He said, you tell him kids I'm lost. I said, Daddy, I didn't tell them nothing. You told them by the way you live. Old girls, he didn't like them because they talked about Jesus to him. I'm telling you, church, I'm right this morning. And this is what I'm going to ask you to do. At least think about it. Right here's a church hymnal. Is that what? No, it's that little inspiration. They got a little blue book right in there and thumb through all the pages and see how many of them don't mention the love of Christ. Turn on the radio and listen to the Southern Gospel or Bluegrass. See how many of them don't mention the love of Christ. We've called it on our tongue for years, Jerry, and we didn't even do what we said was singing about. You know I'm right. Isn't that right? You going to admit it? I had to admit it. I love my church. I hate more today the things that I was against. Long lot further now than I did then. You sit down in front of that old TV at night and get your mind full of garbage and then get up and think you can pray. You can't pray with that in there. Got to go somewhere and confess for an hour or two. Just get your heart cleaned up enough to ask God for a message in the morning. Isn't that right, Kenny? I won't say this to you, and I won't quit. Give him a touch, or whatever Brother Billy wants to do. If you'd go spend all that time, I'll give you an illustration. When I left that church in North Carolina, I had to stay there 1 year because I was meaner than a copperhead. I wanted to shoot somebody. And I carry a gun. I wanted to shoot somebody. And I knew it wasn't right. I said, Lord, this ain't right. Maybe stay here a year. So during that time, we did a 5,000-piece jigsaw puzzle. One night real late, I was up, closing that last little hole up, punching them in. Come down, you know what? Got down to one piece. Right in the middle of the puzzle, Brother Jerry. Holy Ghost said, if I could get you to spend as much time with me as you did that puzzle right there, you'd know something about me. And I said, that's my last piece. I shoved that last piece in there and I said, I won't work another ever. And one day I was sitting in the floor where I live now and them little children come down and we done one of them 12 piece dolls. And right when I pushed them together, the Holy Ghost said, you lied to me. I said, I repent in sackcloth and ashes. See, if you'd go along, old people, the melatonin's missing in their body. And you don't sleep as much as you once did. You think you've got all the sleep you need. Ain't that right? Ain't that right, fellas? You white-haired fellas? You get to thinking 5 hours all you need. It's really not all you need. But you think it is. And you wake up at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. You say, I can't sleep. Well, listen, that's a great thing to happen to you. Just lay there and if the wife is sleeping real good, roll out of the bed and slip off somewhere and spend as long as you need with him until you get sleepy again and come back in there. And I'm going to tell you what that'll do for you, buddy. That'll replace all the TV sets and VCRs and all them DVDs you ever owned in your life. It'll take their place. And then you'll say, don't bring me no junk. I've got something else to do. long to be with Him. I get ill-mooded about it sometimes, sister, at her. I said, honey, let me go. That's what Marion said the other day. Let me alone. Let me go off by myself. Be with Him. So I ask you this today. I didn't come here to jump on anybody. I knew way back yonder when Brother Milby said, you come up. I said, well, if I preach, I'm going to try to say to my best friends, you are my best friends, Brother Milby. Y'all are my best friends. The other crowd wrote me off and wrote me letters and said, you're still in the church, and put me on the blacklist. You can't go to Israel now and study in Hebrew University and come back here and teach Old Testament. Get your doctor's degree and be high on the ladder, and you can't take First Baptist Church. I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Brother Messick, about that. If you'll remind me somewhere next year, I'll take about 10 minutes and worry about that. I don't even think I'll do that, Chris. I'll be honest with you. I think I'll just quit worrying about it. I've got a whole lot more than I lost by running with you. By running with you all. Problem, I ain't just saying words. I ain't trying to get meetings. I'm telling you, I got more out of this exchange than I lost by coming to the old-time way. I don't have to show you how smart I am or nothing. But I do want to tell you about somebody that has kissed me with the kisses of His mouth. Today, I'm as close as God as I've ever been in my whole life. I couldn't change this for nothing. It's better than the amusement park. It's better than the hayride. It's better than the weenie roast. It's better than the dance. It's better than the car race. It's better than the tractor pulls and all that stuff. It's the best thing I ever had in my whole life. Oh, Brother Mill, the other day, I'm trying to quit. I got on my knees down at White Graves Baptist Church. I stuck my head up in the corner, and I was kind of crying and shouting a little bit. And I told the Lord up there in that corner, stuck up in that corner, I said, Lord, I'm an old man, and you don't know it. There's a lot of things in my body that ain't no good. They're just about gone. I know mine's done. I can't outrun nobody. Can't outwork nobody. But I might outlove you. I stuck my head in that corner and I said, Jesus, I don't know how many days I got left, but I want to live every day of it in the Holy Ghost. Gene, I want to live Brother Guffey, every last minute of it in the Holy Ghost. And I hope I don't have a long time. Really, I'm serious about that. I long to be with Him, which is far better. But every now and then, you've got to stay around and help somebody. Let's bow our heads. Let's bow our heads. Would you say, preacher, you've hit a nerve in my life. I want you to pray for me. This is not an ego trip. I want to know if my message has done you any good. See the hands. I love you all. Lord, I love you all. Brother Milby, you want to call? You want to call? If you would come and pray about it, would you just get up and start down the aisle and Miss Guffey will play a little bit here? If you don't do that, we won't give an invitation. I don't want to belabor you today. If I never preach again, I think I preached the message God wants me to preach today. I want to change my whole life, Lord. I want somebody to say, I don't know much about that guy, but I tell you what I know. I know he loves me. I know what he has is something I don't have, and I want what he has.
Touch, Lord.
Would you come? I didn't say you weren't saved, but I wonder who's really running your life. Let it never be said, nothing. Nothing. He's nothing. Just noise and nothing. Love will roll the clouds away and turn the darkest night into day. When the battlefield is all done and the dust is all settled and the bodies are all laying, one troop will still be standing. He said the greatest of these, love, stands up as champion of all things. Nobody can reject it. It's gentle and meek and kind and tender-hearted. It sees past the fault to the need. Isn't that what Jesus did for us? He dealt with my heart severely about it. He said, I've looked past your fault and seen your need. Can you not even do the same for somebody around you? Past the fault, see the need. I'm done for.